There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick or... you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You're out, you're about, but you want your Dan Patrick. Well, good news, he goes everywhere with you. If you missed the show, you can podcast it. If you want to see the show, just go to Peacock, and we stream it live every weekday. Watch past episodes, too. The Dan Patrick Show, available anywhere you are, any way you want it. Welcome to a holiday edition of the Dan Patrick Show.
Boy, do we need a vacation.
Dan and the Danettes are taking an end-of-the-year hiatus.
They're drunk.
Time to look ahead to the new year.
The future is now.
And set some intentions.
I would like to be drunk more.
But until their return, the Dan Patrick Show is proud to welcome some guests into the Mercedes Man Cave, sitting in for Dan Patrick.
These are the smart guys, right?
It's Doug Gottlieb and Dan Beyer.
What up? Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Basically, the Doug Gottlieb Show crew rolling in. We don't get to do this. This is kind of like a special, and I know what you're saying. I'm waiting for people like, oh, Gottlieb. Like, listen, normally what the powers that be, and that's like my boss. I'll just say, for now on, by the way, guys, when Scotty walks down the hall, we'll just call him Powers That Be. What do you guys think? You guys okay? Bye, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm good. Hey, yeah, that's fine with me.
Hey, Powers. By the way, how you feeling? You better?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Are you laughing?
Through
you're
the
sick.
End
I'm
of
actually
it.
Concerned
know,
about you. Like,
I know.
Yeah, I was almost dead, and now
it was,
I'm okay.
It was. Not jet sick, but I was not feeling well, but back at it today.
Jay Stu, you okay? We calling him Powers That Be. He no longer has a name. He's now Powers That Be. Usually there's the Powers That Be. We do a co-host thing. And I know Covino and Rich going to host some here coming up with DP and the boys off. But this is what we're going to do is, I think, generally how we roll on a daily basis. Is that right? That we didn't really meet. We don't really know each other. We just show up and do this every day from 3 to 5 Eastern time plus half an hour pod or 12 to 2 Pacific Coast time. So let's get into it. There's a lot of things that we could talk about. The fact that I just disemboweled some Grape Nuts. Man, Grape Nuts is a great cereal. Great cereal. Byer, you missed our soup discussion. We've been talking a lot of soup here, especially with, and this year radio show is on everywhere, and most everywhere is really, really, really cold. Really, really, really cold. And it's a hard thing to conceptualize when you're broadcasting live from sunny Southern California, because it's our version of really, really, really cold is not cold in any way, right? But like, oh my God, it was like 40 degrees when I woke up.
It's going to be so cold in some spots that I don't know if soup does any good, considering TikTok is full of 30 below videos right now. That is right now, that is 30% of my feed on TikTok is people in Montana freezing t-shirts or putting stuff outside. And that is too cold that I don't even think soup can do anything for it.
So the coldest place I've ever been, my first year playing professionally, was in Perm, Russia, P-E-R-M, Russia. You can look it up. It's a historically significant city. Dr. Zhivago, I believe, was filmed there.
Is it
there
close to Mullet, Russia? Or
It is close to Yekaterinburg,
High Top
I
Fade,
believe.
Russia, I think it's
listen,
somewhere.
No, listen, like, I know what you're saying. I get it, the Perm. Perm, it's pronounced Perm, Russia. It's on the Kama River. It's on the base of the Ural Mountains. And I'll never forget this because it's like one of my go-to stories. It was so cold. It was so cold that my boogers froze. And it was like one of those. And here's the way it worked. Like, at the time, I was a newlywed. And I would practice in the morning. And then you had a long, like, rest time. Everybody else would go home, probably drink soup, right? Take a nap, watch a show. And then you come back and you got practice night. That's professional basketball overseas. And, you know, being newlywed at the time, it was, hey, get up, get out of the house, and let's get, like, I just want to rest. I want to do so. Even though it's freezing cold, like, you get cabin fever if you're just in the house every day. So I went out to the Rinuk, which is like an outdoor market, the bazaar, if you will. And everything's covered except, like, you just couldn't cover, especially my nose, kind of hard to cover. And you walk around. I just remember that, like, minus 40. And by the, I don't know how else you know this, that Celsius is weird how it works. When you get to the, like, high end, right? It's way low, like high end for Fahrenheit, like 100 is not, it's like, what is it, like 30 or something Celsius? But when you get down the other way in the negatives, negative 40 and negative 40, it kind of meets. It's just like, it's just cold. Anyway, it was over minus 40. And literally, if you're outside, everything freezes. You can't leave anything covered. And there are plenty of places in the United States today where it is that cold. That's cold. Not Southern Cal. Now, for some reason, Southern California, when it's like 40, it feels that cold, but it is not that cold. And I know what you're saying, Dan, that like there's some things that soup can't do, but very few things soup can't do. Soup is like how Homer Simpson looks at donuts. Donuts, is there anything they can't do? Right? That's how you have to look at soup in this particular time. You know, like if you go outside and I gotta, you know, get the snow off the driveway, gotta drink some soup. Before we start on the Jets and on Zach Wilson, Byer, you weren't here for the soup hierarchy. Your favorite soup is what?
Give me the old chicken noodle soup. Okay. Straight out of the can by Campbell's.
Wow.
Yes.
Old school. Old school. He's Dan Byer. He's old school. Okay. I'm not sure if there's soup or, you know, chicken noodle soup or matzo ball soup. It's called Jewish penicillin. Zach Wilson could use. Because last night was, I guess, ugly as expected. It was just bad. There's a level to it now where, and we'll play for you sound of what his head coach said. But there's a level to it now. It's like you just can't keep throwing him out there. You can't keep throwing him out there. I don't know who Chris Streveler was. Like, if Chris Streveler would have come and said, I play in the NFL, I would have said, okay, like, what are you a kicker? Are you a long snapper? I don't know.
I knew who Chris Streveler was, but I also called for Joe Flacco at halftime. So I didn't even get the right quarterback that they would actually put in to replace Zach Wilson.
By the way, Chris Streveler, he'd handle the conditions, I think, pretty well. South Dakota, I don't know if they play indoors up there, but you would think that he's seen some stuff in his day. Chris Streveler came in and replaced him. I mean, this is one of those, we are divided as a country, right? We just are. We're divided as a country. We can't agree on anything. I think we can all agree we've seen enough Zach Wilson. Is that, are we, does anybody
go? I second that.
Okay.
Yes.
Jason Stewart, can I get a third? Can I get an amen, John Rama?
All those in favor?
Aye.
And all those opposed?
Aye.
Nay.
Motion is granted. Resolution resolved.
You can't do I and then nay, John. You have to do I or don't or say be silent. I'll teach him how this is done.
I'll be silent.
Okay. Zach Wilson said this after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at it from a team perspective, right? We're not doing anything offensively. And, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to help get the guys going. I'm trying to, you know, get myself in a little bit of rhythm. And you know, we had nothing there.
Here's Zach on the booze.
Is it tough hearing the booze?
Yeah, it is, you know, but don't blame them. We have a very passionate fan base, and they're here to watch us score touchdowns, and we're not scoring touchdowns. We're not getting first downs. We're not moving the ball. We obviously can't throw the ball, so of course they're going to be frustrated.
Here's Robert Saleh on his quarterback's decision-making.
You said you feel like Zach is getting better, but this is a kid who was drafted second overall. Your starter last year, he's now into year two. You've had to bench him or make a change at quarterback two times this year. It seems like the other quarterbacks that you have thrown out there, going back to last year with Josh when he was here, and Joe, and now Mike this year, and Strevely, your offense seems to function better with other quarterbacks as opposed to Zach. Why is that?
Those are things we got to look at to stand up here and give you that answer. I don't have that answer. There's a lot of stuff that we got to talk about.
Okay, first thing is, it was a very good question. Like, that was a very good, fair, and balanced question. There was one part to it. Did you pick up on the one thing that was interesting about the question?
That Saleh kind of sounds like Victor Newman from Young and the Restless.
I don't know who Victor Newman is. That's a reference that's over my head.
No, I didn't. What did I miss?
Can I hear that question one more time?
You said you feel like Zach is getting better, but this is a kid who was drafted second overall. Your starter last year, he's now into year two. You've had to bench him or make a change at quarterback two times this year. It seems like the other quarterbacks that you have thrown out there, going back to last year with Josh when he was here, and Joe, and now Mike this year, and Strevely, your offense seems to function better with other quarterbacks as opposed to Zach. Why is that?
Those are things we got to look at to stand up here and give you that answer. I don't have that answer. There's a lot of stuff that we got to talk about.
You couldn't give me one thing? Jay Stu, did you pick up what I heard?
I'm trying to figure it out. I was...
Play it again, John. No, I'm kidding.
No, play again. He mentions all the quarterbacks by first name except Strevler, because nobody knows who the hell the guy is. He's like, you know, Joe, John, Jim, they all came in, they're all better. And then some Strevler fella, who the hell is that guy? He came in and he was better too. That was the part of the question that was the money question. It was like, look, you've had like five other guys. They're all better than this guy. Like, why do you keep throwing this guy out there? I grew up in a town, city of Orange, California, right? Jason Stewart grew up in Brea, California. Brea is 15 minutes north. John Ramos grew up in... Did you grow up in South Pass or San Ramon? Did you grow up in South Pass?
Actually, San Ramon was my second home. Okay. South Pasadena was where I actually grew up, yes.
Okay, you grew up in South Pasadena. It's an incredible area. You think of Pasadena, the Rose Bowl, South Pasadena, San Ramon, like amazing area, okay? And Dan Byard, I'm cutting you out of this because you didn't grow up in California. You grew up in Wisconsin, where everybody is sending out TikToks of freezing T-shirts apparently right now.
Not yet, but soon, yes. Okay, Montana's got it right now.
I grew up in Orange because the city of Orange is famous basically, I think, for two things. Okay? One is the street fair in the Orange Circle. The Orange Circle is like, it's like old Americana. Even now it exists. It's like a throwback to the 1950s. It's right next to Chapman University. Really cute. They got a lot of restaurants in there. Antique shopping. But the Orange, they have the street fair, and it's all different sorts of ethnicities and food, right? So is that fair? Like, do you know the second thing, Jason Stewart, that the city of Orange is known for? Jason Stewart?
City of Orange is known for...
Yeah.
It has one of those, like, streets where you have to... A circular street? What is that called?
That was the Orange Circle. Is he not paying attention to the rest of the show? What is he doing? That's the Orange Circle, right? That's the Orange Circle. And it's known for Toyota of Orange. Because they had this little jingle. No, you see, you're snorting. Yes, I swear.
Totally. Everybody the license plate frame, yes.
Everybody who lives in Southern California, right? There used to be this Cal Worthington, and he had like a tiger on on his the two car places that people knew were Cal Worthington. I still don't know. I think he was like in Bellflower and Toyota of Orange. You won't get a lemon. I would have got a lemon at Toyota of Orange, right? That's and when I'm a kid, I was like, "What is a lemon?" I didn't. You just go along with it. And a lemon is a stinker. Everybody, I don't know if you ever had a car where just nothing goes right. You know, blinker goes on. I don't know why. All of a sudden, the car just stops, like the battery or whatever. Right? You just get lemons. The Jets have a lemon. You know, there's a lot of things that went into it. It was the COVID year, right? We can blame it on COVID. Isn't that a great one you can always blame things on? What the heck happened there, COVID? Like, oh, okay, yeah, it was COVID year, right? The COVID year was a weird year. And that was Zach Wilson's year to shine, right, at BYU. And then you look at who they played, you're like, oh, yeah, they didn't really play. Like, their big game that year was Coastal Carolina. That was their big game. No, they didn't come in and like, hey, let's bring in Texas and Alabama. Like, no, let's bring in Coastal Carolina. That's our big game. So some of it is the COVID year, okay? Some of it is there's a dude who he's one of those guys that it looked much better on tape, you know, especially on air. But on, you know, you couldn't really tell in the COVID year, like, who are they playing against? There was a bunch, like, who are you actually playing against? Not just in terms of the level of teams that you're playing, but each one of these levels of team, they didn't have all their guys. I mean, even college football that year, remember, like, Micah Parsons didn't play. Lots of guys. There's several starred. Jamar Chase didn't play. Didn't play. So when the top guys don't play, other guys fill in, and they're not as good. So maybe that's part of it. Then there's just the numbers game to the NFL draft where GMs will tell you first-round draft picks are like a 66.6% hit rate. Two-thirds of the guys hit, one-third of the guys don't hit. So at some point, you go like, eh. But there is something to be said for the fact that the Jets have tried to find the guy at quarterback. And they have gone through, it's not for lack of draft. It's not like the Packers obviously have found at least Christian Watson, at least one stud wide receiver. But the Packers, they don't want to draft a wide receiver in the first round. There's been too many busts, whatever. But it's not one of those things where they haven't, you know, people are critical of some teams for not putting resources into wide receiver, line, or whatever. It's not for lack of trying, right? Geno Smith was a second-round pick. Mark Sanchez was a first-round pick. This guy was the number two pick in the draft. And yet, here they are again. They're going to need a quarterback. You know, maybe they should have gone to Toyota of Orange. I know we're giving away free sponsor ads, whatever. But everybody in Southern California is going like, I remember that jingle. Yeah, kind of annoying, kind of cool. And at some point in your life, you're like, I learned what a lemon was. This is a lemon. He's not a horrible human being. I'm sure there's a great portion of it where his confidence is so shook right now, it doesn't even matter. Like, you're like, he's not even performing. Regardless of the fact that he's probably not good enough, he's not performing at a level where you can even take it seriously that, well, maybe if he regains his confidence, like, you just don't have time. The Jets are still in some sort of playoff mix. And by the way, maybe we should be talking about the Jaguars and what they've done and how that light switch has gone on there. Nah. Anyway, there's no malice in any of this. Like, I'm not doing the Stephen A. or like, you know, he's terrible. He's horrible. Like, at some point, you just go, like the question asked, you have like five other quarterbacks over the last 2 years that are better than Zach Wilson. And the fans aren't helping, which is the craziest part, because for some reason, it becomes like fun to just give this guy the business. It's like, you know, he plays on your team. You know, the guy's not doing well. You could actually help him, but whatever, we're past that point. I actually feel bad. The guy bought his whole offensive line room scooters yesterday, right? Now he's probably not the starter. He's like, hey, guys, you know, I need to kind of start managing my money because I don't know what's next for me. So do you guys want to give back the scooters? Because, you know, they're all like forced into one-upping each other in terms of what gifts they give to offensive linemen.
That'll work well in the winter.
Yes.
Listen, yes. They did everything they possibly could last night to make it work for him. They threw on first down, I swear, on their first five possessions. The only points that he brought their drive provided negative yardage. That graphic on Amazon, and thank goodness my Wi-Fi crapped out in the fourth quarter. That's a true story. But the only drive that Zach Wilson produced points, they got negative yards on. It was because of the first possession of the game when they forced the Trevor Lawrence fumble on defense. It just could not have gone any worse.
Yeah. It just, look, sometimes guys just aren't good enough and you move on, you know? That's basically where we are. And we could do, you know, we could do all different sorts of post-mortem autopsy over what you could have done differently, but does that matter? Zach Wilson is not good enough that you can't keep throwing him out there. Perfectly asked question. Some guy we'd never heard of named Streveler shows up and is better. Like, Dan Beyer is openly opining for Joe Flacco. Like, when in the last 5 years ago, you know what I'd really like to see right now is Joe Flacco. Never. Right? Never. But that's the case with the New York Jets. All right, coming up next, the Jets' rival is the New England Patriots. And we are in a place we have never been with the Patriots. I'll explain. Dan Beyer alongside, so too is Jason Stewart, John Ramos, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick and the Danettes here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Doug Gottlieb in for Dan, the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. I mentioned the Doug Gottlieb Show is daily, 3 to 5 Eastern to 12 to 2 Pacific. We have an hour podcast. It goes live. It's fun stuff. In it, on a daily basis, we play a game. We don't have the open for the game? We just play
well,
a game?
Well, it's no ordinary game, Doug.
Yes.
Okay, well, what's the game?
Well, Doug, you know, this is an opportunity as we are just a couple of days before Christmas to look back at the holiday season. And what better way to celebrate that than you and John Ramos going mano a mano in a game called Hallmark or Off the Mark? Now, I'm not saying this is an original game. I'm sure some radio show somewhere did it at some point. But you guys have to decide on the titles I give you if they are a Hallmark movie that aired during the 2022 Christmas season or if they are off the mark. First one to four wins, must win by two. If there's a tie at the end, we will have a tiebreaker. I will give you the title of a movie. Again, Doug, John, all you got to do is decide, is it Hallmark or off the mark? Are you guys ready to play?
Well, I is this what you've been doing? You've been prepping for the last 4 days and you've been sick watching Hallmark movies?
Yes. This may have been done in late November, knowing at some point I'd put the game to use. Here we are on December 23rd, running out of time.
Now, Dan, this isn't one of those ones where I have to, like, I'll bet that movie in five.
No. Right. I'm just going to give you the title of a movie, and you just have to tell me, is it a Hallmark movie that aired in the 2022 Christmas season? Or is it off the mark? Hallmark or off the mark? Jason Stewart is here as well. Are you guys ready to play?
Let's do it.
John, call it in the air.
Heads.
It's tails. Doug, you will be going first.
Do you know when tails fails, John Ramos?
Most of the time?
Never.
Oh, okay.
Never.
Tails. All right. Fails. The first title, Doug, Hallmark or off the mark, Noel Next Door. Noel Next Door. Was that a Hallmark movie that aired in 2022, or is that off the mark?
Noel Next Door does sound like it could be another type of movie. I'm going to say it's a Hallmark movie.
That is correct, Doug. A hardworking single mom gets into a war of words with a neighbor who she feels is ruining Christmas, only to find that this misunderstood grouch just may steal her heart.
Wait a minute.
Noel Next Door.
A movie about a misunderstanding?
Yes.
Which leads to a love story? Get out of here.
All right, John. What about Santa's Second Wife?
Oh, that's not nice. I'm going to say that is not a Hallmark movie.
That's off the mark or Hallmark, John?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Hallmark or off the mark?
Off the mark.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that is correct.
All right.
It is off the mark.
Okay. Sorry about the...
If it was a movie, the synopsis would be, after the untimely passing of Mrs. Claus, the elves aren't too keen on the idea of Santa marrying the owner of the neighboring bakery. That is, until she cooks up a recipe they can't refuse.
Guys, I don't know how to tell you this, but there is a movie called Santa's Second Wife.
Did it air on Hallmark?
No.
Then it's off the mark. Then it's off the mark.
But yeah. I had no idea. Did you know that there was a Santa's Second Wife movie?
No, I did not.
I had no idea.
I spent the other 9 hours putting this game together by writing up fake synopsis and plot lines.
And Doug's violating the first rule of radio games is using Google. You can't use Google.
It's only because it's an honor system here.
It
wasn't a question to me. I was like, Santa's Second Wife? Really?
All right, 1-1. Doug, what about New Year's Leave? New Year's Leave.
New Year's Leave, like leave of absence?
New Year's Leave. Is that a Hallmark or off the mark?
I've never heard of it. I'm going to go off the mark.
That is correct. That is correct. If it was a movie, the old boss Leon is retiring at the end of the year, and that's music to the ears of his worn-down employees. That is, until one employee finds out about where Leon will be headed once he leaves the office. New Year's Leave, not coming to a TV near you.
Wait, Leon will be beheaded? That took a dark turn.
No, you got to watch to find out.
Space headed.
2-1. Again, you got to win by two, otherwise a tiebreaker at the end. John, what about We Wish You a Married Christmas?
We Wish You a Married Christmas. I'm going to say that is... On the mark.
Wait, no, it's Hallmark or off the mark.
I got to write these down. Hallmark.
That is correct. All right. Becca and Robbie are a married couple having a hard time connecting with each other as the holidays approach. Just before Christmas, they head to a cozy Vermont inn at the advice of their marriage coach so they can recharge. Their weekend away gets unexpectedly extended when a mishap puts their car out of commission and just may put them on the road to a very happily married Christmas.
Oh, man.
All right.
And everybody knows that if you're having a rough relationship, the stress of the holidays will typically make it better.
Yes. All right.
When you're struggling to get along with somebody, you should go to Vermont and get in a cabin. And,
yes. Pressure of gifts.
All right. What about lights, camera, Christmas, Doug? Hallmark or off the mark?
Lights, camera, Christmas?
Yep.
That sounds like a Hallmarky sort of a name. I'm going to go Hallmark.
That is correct. 3 for 3. When a holiday rom-com movie shooting in her town needs a costume designer, Carrie, a local shop owner, steps into the role. While working on the movie, she rediscovers her passion for costume design and finds herself falling for Brad, the film's famous leading man.
Brad.
Unfortunately, this aired on November 5th, so we are a good month and a half removed from Lights, Camera, Christmas. 3-2. Doug has taken the lead, but we are on serve in Hallmark or off the mark. John, what about who the elf do you think you are?
Oh, that would be a great title of a Hallmark movie, but I'm going to say that's off the mark.
That is correct. If it was a movie, residents of Fox Hill Cove aren't too happy with the newly appointed mayor from a neighboring town, especially with the annual Christmas parade just 2 weeks away.
Who the elf do you think you
Who
are?
Who the elf do you think you are? Who the elf do you think you are? Well, I'm the mayor of this damn town. All right, 3-3. 3-3. Doug, on serve.
Yep.
What about North Polio?
I mean, come on.
North Polio.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
Hallmark or off the mark?
That's off the mark. No way.
That is correct. Santa comes down with polio, and there's nothing that the elves can do, or so they think.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
What, too soon? Too soon?
No. Polio's, we're good.
All right.
It's eradicated, funny. Right?
I know, it's very funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, a very timely disease. It's very timely.
John, what about mistletoe jam?
I want to say that's Hallmark.
That is off the mark. You think they're going to put a movie with toe jam in it? If it was a movie, Kevin comes home from California with his new girlfriend, only to realize he never broke up with the girl he was dating 3 years ago.
Ooh, that is a jam.
Yes, that is jam. Mistletoe jam.
Toe jam.
All right, Doug, you can actually win this right here.
I thought
here.
I just won it. I thought I won by two.
You have
two.
To win got... by two. It's 4-3.
I thought I did win by two.
It's 4-3.
No.
So that's what, yeah.
Oh, I don't get a point when he misses?
No.
Okay.
No, that is not.
A volleyball.
Yes. What about three wise men and a baby?
That sounds like an absolute Hallmark movie, right? Because there used to be three men and a baby, and they changed to three wise men and a baby. I'm going to go Hallmark.
That is correct, Doug. You are the winner of Hallmark.
Job, Doug.
Or off the mark, as three brothers get the surprise of their lives when they're forced to work together to care for a baby over the holidays. As they slowly get the hang of things, they find themselves on unexpected journeys of self-discovery and begin to rebuild their relationships as brothers, as well as the damaged romantic and professional relationships in their respective lives, all while rediscovering their love of Christmas. Again, we missed it by a month. It premiered on November 19th, but three wise men and a baby.
Well done, Dan.
That movie sounds awful.
They all sound awful, actually.
Well, three wise men and a baby sounds, I mean, like it's a takeoff on three men and a baby, and it just sounds, yeah.
What about the fact that the wise men were actually a religious thing? So that's probably not a good thing as well.
Do you guys want to hear the other fake movies?
Sure.
Yes.
Falling Needles. That was a good one. That was my tree 2 years ago that died like on December 13th. We were a fire hazard around December 23rd. What about Danger in the Manger?
I like Danger in the Manger.
Yeah, Sally's 38th annual Christmas show won't go as planned after the city condemns the auditorium because of faulty wiring. Her only hope is the auditorium's old janitor, Edgar, and when they get together, sparks fly.
Ah, yeah. Danger.
What about Oh Christmas Bush?
Oh Christmas Bush?
Yes.
Pause.
Cody falls in love with the owner of a Christmas tree lot, only to find out that the new love of his life leaves town after all the Christmas trees are sold.
Okay, we'll get to those some more of those. Let's get an update. What else is going on in the world of sports, Dan? Let's see if you've obviously been prepping for this thing. These are amazing, amazing. Well, great, Dan Beyer.
Yes,
by the way,
the big winner last night, Doug, in the Jets Jaguars game. Mm-hmm. Not only the people who didn't watch, but also the Cincinnati Bengals, because they clinched a playoff berth with the Jets loss. Jaguars get the win 19-3, and Zach Wilson replaced late in the third quarter. Trevor Lawrence did have a touchdown run, 20 of 31, 229 yards, not in the most ideal conditions, but both teams now 7-8. Major League Baseball reduced the suspension of Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer from 324 games to 194, paving the way for his reinstatement. USA Today reporting the Dodgers are expected to release Bauer. They released a statement last night saying, "We've just been informed of the arbitrator's ruling and will comment as soon as practical." Hey, got to give the Giants some credit. They miss out on Aaron Judge, don't have Carlos Correa. Now we think, I'm not sure, but we think they're going to get Michael Conforto on a two-year deal worth $36 million, so the outfielder goes to San Francisco. And C.J. McCollum, 40 points last night in the Pelicans, 126-117 win over the Spurs.
Yeah, no Zion and a 40-burger against the Spurs team. That's just Stanley Johnson played good off the bench. I watched him that game. That was they are tanking in the most classic way. You know what's interesting? You weren't... you were sick this week. Dan was sick this week. By the way, you can hear us all. Dan, you can hear on Sundays on Fox Sports Radio when the second games kick off. Plus, he has the I Want Your Flex podcast. You can hear him daily on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You were here, like, the Immaculate Reception, which is something that, I wasn't alive for when it took place, but it's one of the most historic plays in all of sports, let alone in the National Football League. Franco Harris passed away at 72 years old. That play was in 1972. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this is the 50th anniversary of that play. And the two teams are playing this weekend. That all that together is crazy.
Today is the 50th anniversary. It happened on December 23rd, 1972. Yeah. And there's so many things, like, within this game. We just remember the camera footage, or the lack thereof, of the angles and the replay angles and Franco catching the football. And I know that we've talked about it before, but it's so funny because I think people think, like, this led to a Steelers Super Bowl win. You know, like, this kept their Super Bowl run alive.
Yeah.
And it didn't. They lost the next week to the Dolphins, and because it was the 72 Dolphins in the 17-0 season.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, my other favorite thing about it is the Dolphins didn't even have home field, because that's not how they did home field back then. So the game was played in Pittsburgh the next week. But I also didn't realize that it was just a 13-7 game. Like, in a play like that, you know, I'm thinking, like, 34-28, that you would have a game, you know, in that. But that was the only offensive touchdown that the Steelers scored that game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know about the home field advantage thing either.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so many interesting things. It's so sad, you know.
So yesterday was it was interesting because I was looking at dates and times and whatever. But 50 years ago, it's weird. It's also a play that I've probably seen whatever footage they have of it at least 200 times. And yet until I watched, like, an NFL, I think it was like an NFL Network had a long form show on it. I had no idea over, like, a bunch of the parts of the play, or I didn't know anything about it. It's just a weird, like, probably because visually it's so weird where it doesn't really pick up exactly what happened. And you have Franco Harris pick up the ball and run it into the end zone. It's really hard to understand if you're my age or younger, exactly what happened.
I thought it was nice of the Raiders to have just as many camera angles in their game against the Patriots this past weekend as they did on the Immaculate Reception to figure out Keelan Cole's touchdown or not.
That was crazy. That was that whole thing. The Keelan Cole thing. Did we ever determine if they got the call right or wrong? Because there is an angle where it shows his toes. But I would challenge that even that angle, it looks like his right toe is on the line.
Yeah, that was the whole drama. But there was a photograph, a still photo taken just from the sidelines in that end zone, that it did appear that Cole not only got his foot down, but also was able to drag that other foot. So,
all right, coming up next, I'll give you my picks for the weekend. We do the 5 for 5, usually do 5 college, 5 pro, but I'm staying away from the bowl games because I don't know who's playing. No one knows. That's the one thing about the bowl games which stinks is with all these kids not choosing to not play, you just have no – and the transfer portal, this was a great betting time of the year. Now we have to bet on the pro game. I'll give you my picks next. Lay down low, let it snow, let it snow. Merry Christmas to you, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Dan Beyer alongside. So, I give my picks every week on the Doug Gottlieb Show, which is daily, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, 12 to 2 Pacific. We also have the In the Bonus podcast. If you haven't heard it, I think that one, it's like tiramisu. Just try it. You'll love it. Anyway, let's get to the picks.
I want winners.
Well, we got them.
Touchdown!
5 NFL. 5 college.
5 on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Five. It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, 5!
All right, let's get to the picks. I'm a big weather guy. I'm a big weather guy. And that's probably the weirdest thing about living in Southern California is you never check the weather. That's why it rained, I think it was earlier in the week or last week or something, and I was so surprised by it, and I shouldn't have been, but it's just because I don't check the weather. It's supposed to be like 80 this weekend, right? Yeah, it's supposed to be nice. And then rain next week. That I did check just because I was... Just for comparison. But I'm a weather guy. Weather dramatically affects it. Didn't affect the Dolphins that much. They played great. They played really well in the snow and the snowballs and the ice of Buffalo. But let's, with that as the premise, let's get to some of the picks. The Saints go to take on the Browns. The Saints are having an absolutely dreadful season. And it's not like the Browns are killing it, right? Even since getting Deshaun Watson back, they've won 2 of 3, but haven't looked great doing so. But they're a cold weather team that runs the football and runs it well. And my guess would be that Deshaun will continue to get better. I think the Saints are not going to get better. They're just bad and planning for next year and how to fix it. With that in mind, 3 points. I wish it was 2.5, but that's where Vegas is smart. Right now it's 3. By the way, the over under the total is 32. And like last night, I'd probably advise you on the under. Give me the Browns, lay the points. We'll stay in Ohio with the Cincinnati Bengals. They've turned the corner, and they're taking on the Patriots in New England. And so the thought is the Bengals are 3-point favorites. And New England, as they've lost 3 of their last 4, they did lose at home to the Bills. They have lost at home to the Bears this year, and they lost at home to the Ravens. So it's not like Foxborough is some house of horrors for teams to walk into. The other side to it is, could have beaten the Vikings on Thanksgiving and should have beaten the Raiders last week, and oh, how different their season would look if that was the case. I don't think they're great. I'm not even sure how good they are, but playing at home, a Bill Belichick coach defense. I want so badly to take the Patriots in the money line, but I just don't see them having the scoring to keep up with Joe Burrow. Burrow plays well in cold weather. It's supposed to be 18 degrees at kickoff. I'll take the Bengals, even though I'm laying points in Foxborough, seeing as the Patriots have lost to inferior teams to the Bengals at home this year. Give me the Bengals. We do have some dogs for you. Big dogs for you. Let's start with a little dog. The Eagles are taking on the Cowboys. Gardner Minshew, as a backup, is great. Can run around a little bit, can throw it. And we don't really know what this offense will look like with him in it. And outside of Gardner Minshew, I can think of one player the Dallas Cowboys have that is, and Micah Parsons, that is better than everybody else in the field. I don't, CeeDee Lamb's not better than A.J. Brown, right? I just think the Eagles are better. And it's not like Dak's been killing it at quarterback. I'm going to take the Eagles. Give me the money line. I think the Eagles win the game. Eagles are getting 4.5 points. You want to just take the points? Take the points. Be smarter than me. I take the Eagles to the money line. Two more dogs for you. The Seahawks are getting 10 points in Kansas City. And some of this is just water. It's found its level. Seahawks weren't supposed to be that good. They've beaten all the bad. All the wins are over bad teams. That said, Geno has had a good year. They do have a good running game. And what are they going to do? Shorten the game. I also love the under in this one, 49.5. But Seahawks getting 10 points, we'll take them. Give me the Seahawks. And then the Sunday game. Remember, those are all Saturday games, the Sunday games. Packers are taking on the Dolphins. Packers just signed their star guard to a long-term contract. Should have David Bakhtiari back. They don't stop the run, but I'm not sure the Dolphins can stop them. I'm going to take the Packers getting 3.5 points in Miami. Those are the picks. All right, coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show, Doug Gottlieb filling in. There are three C's in sports, and Zach Wilson has lost one of them. Can you get it back? We'll discuss next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play, you've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Searching for a job can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, nobody's on the other end, applications that vanish. It's time to find a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals, the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge a fee when they help you with your job search. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with the help of Express Employment Professionals. And Express helps you find all kinds of jobs, manufacturing to logistics, customer service, accounting, and so many more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call. And with just one application, Express Employment Professionals will have you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier. Let the professionals help at Express Pros. Express Employment Professionals. It's your one connection for getting a job. Visit expresspros.com today, and good luck.
Merry Christmas to you, Doug Gottlieb. In for Dan, the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Something interesting is happening in New England, where, and most of it is from voices of guys that used to be in New England. But generally it was, you couldn't get any information out of that place. But now, you know, we're reacting to the fact that the quarterback seems to be openly perturbed, even though he's in his second year with the play calling. Now you're having former players question the quarterback. Some are questioning the play calling. A guy who's actually had that job joins us now. Charlie Weiss joins us here in for Dan Patrick. I'm Doug Gottlieb on Fox Sports Radio. And Charlie, I want to start with last night, and then we'll work our way to the Patriots. Is there any salvaging this Zach Wilson experiment in New York?
Well, if you just watch the way Jacksonville handled Trevor Lawrence in that game last night, you know, you could see the answer to that question is pretty obvious. So it isn't like Zach Wilson has no ability, but he has no confidence. He has no confidence. He looked clueless out there. But, I mean, at any time did you see them trying to do anything to help him out? You know, no. I didn't see that. So your question is a bit rhetorical, because when you have a talent, no matter how good or how bad it is, what your job as assistant coaches, for example, is to figure out, okay, what can he do well? And in, especially at that position, you find out what he can do well, and then you do a lot of that. And I didn't see any evidence of that last night. So not that he is blameless, because he's not, but he looked shell-shocked to me. And the first thing I know is, if you don't have a quarterback who's got any confidence or got any moxie, or got that inside type of thing that we call it, then you're already fighting a losing battle.
How is there a way to rebuild somebody's confidence?
Yeah, you know, I said what you have to do is you sit down in the off season, you figure, okay, here are the things this guy does well. Now, even if it's only a few things, there are things he does well. I don't ask me what they are, because I'm not with them right now. I just watch them the way you do. I'm a glorified fan. But you start with what he does well, and then you take it from there. I mean, but it's a lot bigger. It's a lot bigger than just what he does physically on the field. I mean, I've been watching and listening to this Jets situation, and everyone's on the Mike White bandwagon, including the players. They all have nothing but good things to say about him. Well, the first thing you have to do as a quarterback, if you can't win your teammates over by your work ethic and how important it is to you and all that other stuff, then you already don't have a chance. So there's got to be a complete makeover. If there's any chance at all, it's got to be a complete makeover, because it's certainly not working the way it is right now.
It doesn't appear to be working in New England. Many people predicted it, because you don't have a traditional guy who has play calling experience calling plays. Then there's also the quarterback himself, who seemed bothered by the fact that Bill Belichick thought they weren't close enough to try a Hail Mary. That's why they ran the ball with Ramondre Stevenson on that last ill-fated play. What are you, when you watch the Patriots offense, what's wrong with it?
Well, let's start first one thing with Mac. Mac should just shut the hell up. That's what Mac should do. Because the last time I checked, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, is he? He's got a lot to say for a guy who's in his second year. Now, I'm a Mac fan. Okay, I'm a fan of his. I was driving a bandwagon saying that I thought that this would be a perfect fit for the Patriots. Let's face it, when Josh left, no matter who you brought in, there was going to be a drop in in the system. I mean, other than me and Billy O'Brien, I mean, and maybe Dable, but other than me and Billy O'Brien, who were the other offensive coordinators there, really, before until now, the only offensive coordinators that's been with Bill are me, Josh, and Bill O'Brien. That's it. There's three. And Bill O'Brien, that was short-lived because Josh left for Denver. Bill took over. Okay, and then Billy ended up leaving for Penn State, and Josh got let go from Denver, and he went back. They're the only three guys who have ever run offense for Belichick the whole time he's been in New England. So when one of those three guys is not running the offense, obviously there was going to be a change in the way business was being done. It wasn't going to be the same. It wouldn't have made a difference who they brought in. It was going to be different. And anytime there's transition, there's the things that go with it, you know. But I look at their team. There's been plenty of games this year where the operation has looked smooth and the offense ran fine. That's not the way it's looked recently, but there have been plenty of games that have been like that. So then you have to go to the root of the problem. Okay, well, the root of the problem is if you look at that team right now, okay, who scares you as an outside receiver?
Nobody.
Well, I think that that's where the problem really starts. You know, now I'm not passing the buck from coaching and the quarterback play now, but I'm saying when you're a defensive coordinator and you're getting ready to play the Patriots, what are you going to do? You're going to try to stop the run and make sure that they don't beat you that with the inside part of the game, and say that if they're going to beat you, they're going to beat you by throwing to those guys on the outside. And at this point, New England just can't hang their hat on doing that, because although they have some guys out there that I like, Jacoby Myers. I think Jacoby Myers is a good football player, but he's not he's not, in my eyes, one of those guys you fear when you're playing against him. You know, if you took those two guys from Miami, If you took those two starting receivers from Miami and put them on New England, do you think New England's offense would look different?
Yes.
If you took the starting two receivers from the Jets and put them on New England, they'd look better. If you took the starting two receivers from Buffalo and put them on New England, they'd look better.
Why can't they, Charlie? Why can't they eval wide receivers? Like it's a thing. If you look back historically, with the exception, I mean, the best wide receivers they've had have been those slot guys. Many of whom have been other people missed on. But in the draft, they have whiffed on wide receiver after wide receiver. Why is that?
Well, what I was there is because they didn't take anyone. They didn't really whiff on them. They took them in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds. They didn't take them early in the draft. I mean, let's face it. You know, there's a lot of good receivers that are developed from the second, third, fourth, and fifth rounds. But the guys that walk into the league, you know, that look like stars, they're getting taken in the first round, right?
Right, right. And they never drafted, and they weren't drafting high during those years either.
And so, I mean, if you have a top 10 pick and you're taking a receiver, you're going to get a good player? You bet you are. But, you know, New England's won for a whole, you know, for a couple of decades. You know, they've had a low draft choice. And, you know, unless you can invest in them, you know, you get what you pay for.
Charlie Weiss is our guest here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. All right, the Packers traditionally haven't spent first-round picks on wide receivers, but the two young ones they have, with Romeo Doubs now healthy, looked a lot better. You mentioned Miami. They traveled down to Miami. Miami finally back off that three-game road trip where they lost all three games. They were a lot more competitive, and he looked better in the cold than he did in the previous 2 weeks. But what are your thoughts on the Packers on how competitive you think they'll be playing in the warmth, but against a team that probably going to run the ball and they don't stop it well? How do you think the Packers will do in Miami this weekend?
Well, it's not going to be warm, first of all. It's going to be in the low 50s because of this unusual weather. And low 50s in Miami, you know, you might have heaters on the Miami sideline, and the Green Bay guys might be wearing shorts and T-shirts. So the weather will be no factor, which is an unusual thing for us, because like today, I live in South Florida. Today it's going to be 82 degrees, you know, but tonight it's going to be 40. So it's never that cold down here. So let's throw the weather out of the conversation. I think Green Bay's biggest issue on offense is the strength of their team really are the two running backs.
Sure.
You know, and I think that because you have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, you want to give him an opportunity to just sling it all over the yard. In reality, when Green Bay plays best on offense, it's when they're utilizing those two running backs and then picking and choosing how many times they throw. So when they're throwing the ball 25 to 30 times instead of throwing it 45 to 50 times, usually that's when Green Bay is playing their best. But no matter what they do on offense, you know, you got to be able to slow down the passing game for Miami, and I think that'll be tough sledding.
Charlie, listen, we love your input. It's so good, so interesting, so insightful, and I wish you the merriest of Christmases and a happy new year, and thanks so much for joining us here on Fox Sports.
Same to you and all your listeners, too. Be safe, be happy, and enjoy the bonus football that we have this weekend.
We got a ton of football. Thanks, Charlie. Charlie Weiss joining us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Let's get you to Dan Beyer and find out what else is going on in the world of sports. Dan, what do you got?
Yeah, Doug, outside of the Jets game last night and the loss to the Jaguars, the numbers were just as ugly as the conversation. Zach Wilson, 9 of 18, 92 yards, and an interception. Trevor Lawrence didn't throw a touchdown pass, had that touchdown run in that 19-3 victory. Maybe the biggest winners of all, the Cincinnati Bengals, who officially clinched a playoff berth. There was a bowl game last night. Air Force doubled up Baylor 30-15. While in the NBA, CJ McCollum at 40. Pelicans dropped the Spurs 126-117. And Major League Baseball reduced the 324-game suspension of Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer, dropped it to 194 games, paving for his reinstatement. Following Bauer's reinstatement, the Dodgers released a statement saying, quote, "We have just been informed of the arbitrator's ruling and will comment as soon as practical," end quote. Multiple reports say the team is expected to release the pitcher.
Yeah, they owe him, what, $23 million if they release him? Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Does he play baseball professionally ever again?
Yes. I didn't think so 6 months ago, but I think he does. Yes.
Jay Stu?
I think he does. Somebody will sign him, but I would love to figure out, and I don't know enough about it. I would love to get some compensation for him if I'm the Dodgers, or is that kind of dirty? Do they just have to release the guy? Because there is some value there. I have a feeling somebody sees value in him.
Well, no, but the problem, you're talking about trading him?
Yeah, get something.
Because if you trade him, you trade his contract. So nobody's going to go like, ooh, we'll sign up for a Cy Young Award winner's contract. No, like the guy's going to have to play for close to the minimum. He comes back and plays.
Yeah, right? It just seems like such a waste. What a waste that was. That's my feeling today.
I and you're a Dodger guy, right? And Ramos is a Dodger guy. Beyer and I are obviously not, but I can't really be critical of Trevor Bauer. It was kind of always a weirdo anyway, right? He was always just odd. And remember that time in Cleveland where he had didn't he cut his finger on the drone? That was what we were told. He cut his finger on a drone that he had at home, and then his finger was bleeding when they're playing Toronto in the playoffs. He's pitching, you know? So he showed some toughness. We're like, dude, who cuts your finger on a drone when you're a professional athlete? Anyway, there was always some weird stuff to him. I can't really fault the Dodgers. Unless there's any of this in his background, which there doesn't, you know, they did a whole trial. I mean, there doesn't appear to be. So this is one of those, you know, what happens, you know, inside somebody's bedroom you don't know about until something goes wrong. Will he play? It's a hard one.
I'll tell you this much. If he's in the NFL, he plays again. Baseball is a little bit more, I don't know, deciphering when it comes to character stuff, I think. But maybe not.
I don't know. I mean, go ahead.
We aren't talking about an average level pitcher. And in the NFL, I would even say an average player would have the same resistance in coming back.
I'm agreeing with Beyer on this one.
That he's an average pitcher?
We don't know what kind of pitcher he's going to be coming off of this length of hiatus anyway. I don't think he was an average before this all happened. On the other hand, it's been a while and expectation, and if you look historically in his career, like, he's not the 1.73 guy he was in Cincinnati, right? I mean, he's somewhere around a 4 ERA. He was a good pitcher, but I don't know what we can expect of him. What were you gonna say, Dan?
I just wanted to clarify, because I was saying he was not average, and so by Jason's comment, I was saying he's above average, that he's going to have that opportunity. If he was just an average player, whether it be in Major League Baseball or the NFL, I think he gets the opportunity. But I believe because he is an above-average player, he will get that opportunity. We always talk about stuff staying with guys, whether it's uncomfortable or to talk about, and I don't know if this has.
What do you mean?
The story's been gone for so long. You know, like, that's.
Yeah, it's time. It's like you get a chance to kind of remake the whole story because there's enough time between it. But if you sign him, it's going to be a story and it's going to be asked about and it's going to be discussed.
No doubt.
And that's where the above average talent comes in, where you'll take that, I guess, initial.
Here's a question.
Part of it.
Okay. Here's a question. He does not in any way believe, nor has he ever had cop to doing anything wrong. Correct? Has anybody ever seen any
full denial? Yep.
Level of control. And in defense of Trevor Bauer, he actually has a lot of evidence on his side however,
despicable,
gross. The idea of hitting a woman would be that on some level, this was actually what she was desirous for. Like, it wasn't once, it was twice, and it happened twice. I don't know how you sign that guy. And I agree with you, Dan, in that, you know, Sayo, the talent does. I mean, like, I honestly went to bed last night going like, do the Angels sign him? Like, you know, and I don't know what the answer is. Would I be that bothered by it if the Angels signed him? I think the answer is no. He paid whatever penance. It's obviously cost him a ton of money, ton of respect in locker rooms, in life. But at some point, if you're good enough to play baseball and, you know, one of the reasons they reduced his suspension was because it was too much based upon a lack of real evidence that any of this was violating something she did not want. See, I don't know. That's going to be interesting. Do you sign him? Do you want your team to sign him? Hit us up on social media. At Gottlieb Show is, in fact, the Twitter account. Here's what we're going to do. Are we doing this as a game, Chase Stu, or are we just doing it to do it?
We're doing it to do it.
Okay, because usually we were going to do the Doug Gottlieb Show. I thought we were doing like Game Time, but instead we're just going to do it to do it.
Oh, no, Dan's got a great game for us next hour.
Next hour?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is just gifts in sports?
No, we're going to give out some gifts to people in sports. Maybe we'll play some Christmas music underneath. How about that?
That's exactly what I was hoping for. That's next on the Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, You can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz. It's impressively techy and surprisingly roomy, with available seating for up to seven. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQB.